I'd first like to thank everybody for coming out and supporting this event, and I hope that everyone will go away knowing a lot more about our VIP of the month of March, more than we know now. So I'd like to introduce to you our VIP for the month of March. It's William Michael Everett, and he was born September the 13th, 1961. And Mike lives in Washington, North Carolina. So, Mike, we would like to congratulate you on being VIP selection for the Spotlight this month, and we look forward to learning a lot about you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's an honor, and glad to be here with everybody.
Okay, I'm going to start out a little different this time. Mike, I'm going to ask you right off the top, if you won the lottery today, what are the top three things you would do?
Well, that would create a lot of things to think about and consider, a lot of problems, too, depending on how much, of course. But I've always thought if I won a very large one, like some people do, of course, I'd like to, you know, take care of bills and things around the house. And I'd always wanted a place down the beach. That would be one thing I'd like to have. And I think I would like to help a lot of people. I've often thought that the blind community could use a lot of help in this area and other places. I'd like to do things like that, do a lot of charity work. I would say I would probably give the majority of it away and, you know, keep enough that I could maintain a comfortable lifestyle.
I kind of knew you were going to say that. Mike, you're like me. You give it away, and I hope all of us are on the list in case that ever happens to you. And moving on, tell us, Mike, where were you born and a little bit about your family?
Well, I was born, raised right here in Washington, North Carolina. It's a little town in the eastern part of North Carolina on the coastal plain. I'm on the coast on a large river, the Pamlico River. My family's parents were from this area, not exactly right here, but close by. And I live with my dad. My dad and I still live together. My mom passed away about 23 years ago. And I have two sisters, one older, Sylvia. She lives in Raleigh. She's married. And my younger sister, Cindy, lives in that Raleigh area. But I do have some family, extended family around still.
I know I have, I'm with your sister Sylvia, and we'll get into it a little bit later, that she also has the same eye condition that you have, Mike. I met Mike back in the early 2002-03, somewhere around there, when I first started going blind. Mike was one of the first persons that I met on one of the blind sites, FTP. And Mike and I became friends, and he's just a super nice guy. So this is a great honor for me to interview him and learn a lot about him. So Mike, tell us, were you born blind, or did you go blind later in life? Or tell us a little bit about your eye disease.
Well, when I was a kid, my sister, she's 5 years older than me. When she was about 10, she was having problems getting around, and my parents took her to the eye doctor, and he thought he saw something, so they sent her to Duke University, and she was diagnosed with RP, retinitis pigmentosa. And the doctor said, well, they all said that it could be inherited, that the other, you know, siblings should be checked as well. And he looked at me, and he really didn't see where I had it. He said it's possible. He thought he might see something there, but he couldn't be sure. And so I went to regular school, public school, and I didn't have any problems. And started going to community college and started having some problems there, and I had to stop driving. I was able to get my driver's license and all. Had pretty normal, if you want to call it normal, childhood so far as not having eye issues other than glasses, which I wouldn't wear. That was the biggest problem I had then. But went to community college and had to stop driving, and that kind of put the skids on my plans for my life or changed my route to another destination.
Well, you jumped into my next question, so we will continue on that just a little bit. You went to public school, so you didn't have vision problems all the way through school, or did you have any, or was it when you went to the community college? When did you start having problems with your eyesight yourself, Mike?
It was when I was in community college, I think. It was in my early 20s. I had to stop driving. The doctor said that my peripheral vision with RP, you can have 20/20 central vision, but your peripheral vision, side vision, is very narrow, like tunnel vision. And you can, you know, of course, you got very large area where you can't see. You're blind in the air, but you can see straight ahead perfectly. And that was kind of where I was at that point.
And I understand exactly what you're talking about, because that's what I have as RP, and it affected me at age 30. So, Mike, going into the next question, since you grew up pretty much unaffected by RP, I don't want to assume that you were able to do everything all the other kids did through school, riding bikes and climbing trees and all that good stuff.
Oh, yes, yes. I had a lot of friends in the neighborhood, and we did all those sports. And being just two or three blocks from the river, I mean, that's where we were a lot of the time, fishing, swimming, boating, did all that. And we got into riding motorcycles. We all got motorcycles. That was a lot of fun. So, yeah, pretty, I would say, normal there.
Now, did you finish community college, or did your eyesight cause you to stop your education, or was that choice of your own?
No, I finished. I was taking a advanced machinist course at the time, and I did get my degree. And when I got out, the job market was pretty suppressed at that time. So, and not being able to drive before, even while I was in school, I had been going on some job interviews and been offered some jobs. But that kind of changed things quite a bit for me. I went back to my old job working for my dad, and he had always had a shop, body shop, and he bought and sold cars. So I went back to help him after I got out.
Okay, Mike, tell us, when you were a kid growing up, what is the one thing that you remember that you got in the most trouble doing?
I was a very good kid. I never got in trouble. But there was a few rough spots there. The worst whipping I ever got. Now, my dad wasn't the disciplinarian in our home. It was my mother, and she enjoyed it too much to let him share in it. But she did whip me once, I can remember. In the kitchen, there was this metal cabinet that she had a lot of crystal champagne glasses and stuff in. And on the top, there was a Christmas card, and it had a picture of a Model T on it with a Christmas tree in the back. And I wanted that Christmas card, so I opened up the doors, and there were shelves, and I used the shelves for a ladder. And of course, by the time I got to the top, the whole thing came over. That's the worst whipping I got.
Ooh, I bet so. Now, the next question to this section, Mike, what is the one thing that you look back over your life and say, wow, that was so dangerous, I know now I should have never done it?
There's a list of those as well, being, you know, with a bunch of boys, my friends, and all the things we got into. We would jump off the bridge, you know, and things like that, which was not too smart. We'd go swimming and riding motorcycles. We didn't always follow the rules. We would get out on the highway or whatever. And to get over where we liked to ride, we would have to go across this creek. And instead of going across the bridge, we would just drive across the train trestle because, you know, this, why not? And so that was not, you know, thank the Lord we didn't ever encounter any trains coming, but things like that were pretty, I guess, dangerous looking back on.
Definitely. My grandparents lived not far from a train trestle, and it's a wonder one of us didn't fall in the river because we used to walk across it. Mike, tell us, what are some of your fondest childhood memories? Is there a couple that sticks out in your mind that when you think about your memories of your childhood, that those are the ones that just come to your mind?
Oh, yeah. We had a very full upbringing. I mean, as far as our family, being with family, Christmases, my mom was really into Christmas. So it was always a big event. And living here in Eastern North Carolina, of course, we had the Outer Banks, the Barrier Islands. And we used to go out there a lot when we were younger and go camping and fishing. And boy, that was just where I wanted to be. I loved doing that. That's a very good memories for me out of doing that, going out there, enjoying all that.
Well, and bringing up fishing, you need to sign up and go to the North Carolina Lions Outer Bank Fishing Tournament in October. Mike, you'd love it. I know I've mentioned it to you several times, but it would be great, and you would really, really enjoy it. Okay, Mike, what did you always want to be when you were a little boy? Everybody has a dream of what they want to be when they grow up. What do you want to be?
I guess I'm the exception. I don't know. I can't remember, you know, saying I want to be a fireman or policeman or whatever, doctor. I guess I wasn't that ambitious. I was just, you know, dealing with what I had at hand there, what I was doing. I really can't say. My dad always having a shop and working, I've always thought I would probably just be some kind of, you know, mechanic or something maybe.
So you said you had a really close family. So you had grandparents that you were real close to, as well as your parents and, of course, your two sisters?
Yes, yes. We were very close to my mom's parents, her family. We would go down there a lot. They lived probably 30 miles away. And my dad's mom died when I was a baby, but my grandfather on his side and his wife lived here in Washington, so I saw them more often. But we, you know, going down to see my mom's parents, they're really special to us.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about when you did start experiencing problems with your RP and you had to give up driving and you had finished community college. How did that affect your life at that particular point in your life as far as with your family and your friends? Were they accepting of that? Did you lose friendships like most all of us did when that happens? How exactly did that affect you?
Well, I went to community college with friends from high school. And it's like when we graduated, everybody went their own separate ways and kind of, you know, didn't see them much anymore. And of course, not being able to drive, I can't go see people, go see my friends and all. But they would come around some, but they were busy getting their careers and their starting their families and stuff. And it was a time of, you know, transition for me, but at that time, my dad had just bought a piece of property, this where we are now, and had moved his business out here, so I was very busy helping him with that. It was difficult because, you know, you lose your independence like that. It's pretty frustrating not be able to go where you want, when you want, like you used to.
And that is frustrating. If you want a Big Mac, you can't jump in the car and go get it for a Big Mac attack. Yeah, I think that's important. Mike, you're so upbeat, so energetic, so friendly, and you've come a long way. And so many of us have had to experience a lot of adjustment in losing our sight or having to adjust to just daily living. Mike, we want to jump here to another little area, and I want to ask you, do you remember what age you were when you got your first kiss?
I'm still waiting.
I know better than that.
Oh, well, probably for that. I was early teens, 13 or 14, somewhere in there.
And what's the most embarrassing thing that you can remember that you did trying to impress a girl that you liked? Could be in elementary school, middle school, high school, college, whatever.
Oh, I never embarrassed myself, especially in front of girls. I was always very suave and sophisticated kind of guy. there was this one, that the ones I can talk about. I remember we went to this, a bunch of my friends and I, we were meeting at a friend's house. We were going to go to the movies that night, a bunch of us, boys and girls. And when we left out to go, they had a trampoline. It was two sisters, and they had a trampoline, so a couple of us got up on that trampoline, and we were really jumping, you know, on that thing, and Well, let's just say I didn't do too well on it. I ended up on the ground. That was kind of embarrassing.
Well, she was probably impressed that you even tried, Mike. So good one for you. Okay, Mike, we're going to move to your career over the years. You finished community college and you got involved with helping your dad. Tell us a little bit about what kind of work you've done in your life and what your hobbies are and what your interest is. But let's talk a little bit about what you consider your career.
Well, I started out mowing lawns. I had a business. I used to mow lawns when I was 13, 14, 15. I had a lot of lawns I would mow and stuff. And then when I got my driver's license, I could drive to my dad's shop, and I started working for him, in his body shop and his business. Then I decided I wanted to go to community college. I was fascinated with mechanical things, gears and sprockets and chains and that sort of thing, power transmission. When I was a kid, I would always take my toys apart because I'd rather take them apart to see how they work. I was more interested in that than playing with them. So I was really fascinated with that kind of stuff. And being a machinist, you basically make things out of metal. You can make anything if you got the right equipment. You can make any kind of gears and sprockets and chains and all that stuff I was interested in. And there's a good bit of skill involved in being a good machinist as well. And I'm kind of that way, a little perfectionist, I guess. So it's kind of interesting to me. And I took that. Plan was to get that machinist degree and get a job somewhere in a company and then let them pay me. Most corporations will pay their employees to go back to school. And I was thinking I'd get them and go ahead and get my mechanical engineering degree that way. So when I got out, my eyesight was having those problems with driving. I could no longer drive. But my dad bought this property here, and it was an old airstrip. And they used to fly planes in and out of here, and they had a big airplane hangar, and they worked on planes and did crop dust and that sort of thing. And they had abandoned it. And it was covered with all kinds of airplane parts and fuselages and wings and that kind of thing. And it was all grown up. And my dad had a commercial building built out here. And when I wasn't helping him in the shop, I would go out and work cleaning all this, all the trees and stuff up, clearing the area and getting all that junk up and tore that old hangar down. And then we decided, my mom at the time had gone back to school and gotten her cosmetology degree. She was a beautician, and she was renting a place downtown, had a shop down there. We decided we'd build a house out here and put her beauty shop, build a special room on the end for her beauty shop. So that's what we did. We started that. I worked on that for 2 years. That's all I did for 2 years was work on this house. And my dad would help when he could, my mom too. And we finally got that built, moved in. And my eyesight, my visual acuity has started getting a little worse at that point. And my sister Sylvia, who lived in Raleigh, who has RP, she found a really good retina specialist up there. And I went up there, and he said he thought he could help me. And so he performed cataract surgery on me. And it greatly improved my visual acuity. Helped a lot. So I talked to the vocational rehab guy, and he came around one day and said, "What do you want to do?" I said, "Oh, I'll get a job." So he started calling some places I mentioned, and there was a company here, Stanodyne Automotive Corporation. They were hiring, and he took me out there for the interview. He said, "I can get you the interview. I can't get you the job, but I can get you the interview." So I went out there and talked to the personnel manager, and he hired me on the spot. He said, "Yeah, we'll hire you. You got to pass the drug test and all the physical, but you can do that." And so I got a job there on second shift, which was very difficult not driving because, none of my family couldn't expect them to come get me 12 or 1 o'clock at night, and they were working too. So it was a difficult time. I was on second shift for 2 years and continued to work for 3 more years there. And while I was in there, I was just a machine operator, assembler. They, because I did have a machinist degree, they worked me into the machine shop, and I worked in the machine shop too while I was there, which was where I wanted to be there, that kind of work. But my, unfortunately, my retinas kind of didn't want to cooperate, and my started losing my central vision, and working there didn't help. The lighting really bothered my eyes out there and things like that. So I finally ended up quitting. And about two weeks after I quit, my mom passed away suddenly. And so that kind of really changed things for me and my family. And, I, came back to working for my dad again. He was still working, and, it was a big adjustment for us with my mom gone. And, my sisters had moved to Raleigh by that point. So that was kind of a difficult time for us, but, we got through it, and we're still here, you know, still with the business and staying busy like that.
Well, and it sounds like you've had a career pretty much in the mechanic area that you wanted to, Mike. So thankfully, it doesn't sound like that your sight robbed you of being able to experience what you wanted to experience. And I know that to this day, you still help your dad, and your dad do go to the auto sales and things too, don't you? And tell us a little bit about that and about where your eyesight, if you have any sight or if you're down to light perception or none.
Yes, I'm down to light perception now. After I quit my job, it went downhill very fast after that. And, which, it got me to the point where I was, you know, like reading. I could read, and then I got to where I'd use a magnifying glass. I could read. Then I had to use a little stronger, circle in the magnifying glass. That didn't work. I finally ended up with I got an eye loop. And then I found an eyepiece off of a telescope, and I could read the newspaper, trying to read the Wall Street Journal with it laying on the floor, leaning over, reading one letter at a time. That's what I got down to. And then I lost that. So I said, I'm going to have to do something. My sister had recently gotten a computer, you know, PCs were in the late 90s coming on. So, and I kind of resisted. She was in some chat rooms online. Some RP groups, and which is where I met a lot of people that come around here. But that was a blessing, getting a computer that kind of that really helped, of course, as we all know. And yes, my dad in 2000 had some really serious health problems happen to him, bypass surgery and other surgeries. And so he had to stop. We had to stop doing the body work on cars, but we still do go to the car sales and try to buy cars that don't need too much work. You know, be careful buying them and buy cars that are in pretty good shape and repair things like brakes and sometimes some little body work and things like the engine. Try not to get into anything too technical or in the. That's another thing is the way the cars have changed now. All the computers on them, it's a whole new ball game. I spend a lot of my time on YouTube and Google trying to figure out how to fix these cars, all these computers on these cars. But we still do that. And so that keeps us busy.
I agree with you, Mike. The computer opens the world to the blind community because that's our outlet, our way of communication and our social activity. So I agree with you fully there. Mike, tell us what you feel like your most accomplishment in life is and what you're the most proud of.
Well, I'm kind of proud of the fact I built this house. You know, we look back now and say, how did I do that? You know, a lot of work. Also, I still do a lot of things that I did when I could see. I found ways to do it. I can still, you know, use chainsaws and things like that. I still drive the lawnmower with a trailer, and I just got a long fishing pole, things like that, silly things. But I'm able, if you want to do something, you can find a way. And I still do most of the things. I still do all the maintenance and on the house and the shop and the property here, and that I did before. It's so, and people seem to, you know, they always tell me that it's amazing things I do, but, you know, it's like nobody ever told me I couldn't, so I just do it.
And that is determination, Mike, and that is one of the things I like about you. You're not a quitter, and you take things, the bull by the horn, and get things done. And I understand you're a pretty good cook, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, when my mom passed away, I had to take over those duties, the laundry, and which I never had to do that, and cooking. I like cooking. I like eating. That's the, see, there's a connection there, eating and cooking. So I've got a few recipes that, you know, I usually will cook something, a big meal on Sundays, and we'll have leftovers for 2 or 3 days and then fill in with whatever. But my dad does some cooking too, warming up and things. But I kind of like cooking.
So tell us, if you invited us all over for Easter dinner on Sunday, what would you cook us? What would be your favorite meal to cook us?
On Easter? Now, I never cooked a big Easter, Christmas or Easter dinner or Thanksgiving or anything like that. But, I don't know. mostly casserole stuff's what I do. Chili casserole, tuna casserole, spaghetti, of course, all that kind of stuff. Those type dishes. I can't really think of meatloaf, stuff like that. I cook stuff like that.
I don't think any of us would mind coming over and sharing that with you on Easter. Of course, I'm just speaking for myself. I know you've talked a lot about cooking over the years that I've known you, Mike, and I'm sure you're a good cook.
Well, there is one recipe I'm pretty proud of. It's my own concoction. It's called peach chili. It's what happens when you take a gamble. That's tomatoes, and open the can up and dump it in, and it turns out to be peaches.
And how did that turn out? Was it tasty?
Let's just say I'm not going to get rich off of that one.
I'll take your word for it. I don't think I'll taste that one. Mike, if you could change one thing in your life, what would that be?
Well, of course, you know, being blind, but something more realistic at this time, I would say, I don't know, to be able to travel more, I think, would be something.
Well, we've talked about your career. Tell us about Mike's hobbies. What do you like to do in your free time other than work and cook? What are your hobbies?
Free time, what is that? That's the thing. I have a lot of interests, but don't have the time or not willing to take the time. You know, gardening, I have a vegetable garden, which don't... Usually, you know, you get out of it what you put into it, and I just put the minimal amount, so I don't get a whole lot of it. But I do enjoy it, gardening and things like that. We have a lot of plants that my mom planted, flowers and things, and woodworking, having built a house. I've got all that kind of equipment still that I use, table saws and radial arm saws and all that stuff, bandsaw. I was always interested in wood modeling. I built a grandfather clock, things like that. And I've taught myself to weld blind. I can do that. And that's kind of more like work, but I do enjoy it like a hobby. Oh, computers, of course, but that's, again, kind of a necessity, plus it's a hobby too, I guess. And I spend a lot of time following the stock market. That's a real big interest for me. I've been active in that for about 20 years. So that takes a bit of my time.
Oh, the stock market. Anybody that's interested in investing, we know who to go to ask the questions. That's Mike E. And you're a big book reader as well, Mike. What's your favorite? Who is your favorite author?
Oh, I should have mentioned book reading. Yes, yes. Thank goodness for Bard and all these digital books. My favorite author? Well, I have a lot of them. I like Michael Crichton. I like Robert Crace. Oh, who else? I'm drawing a blank. But there are a lot. I like action adventure kind of things, some mystery, stuff like that.
Yeah, Bard has opened a door for the blind community, like nothing else. I mean, we can get anything on audio and read it, so, which I love reading. Mike, what is your favorite time of the year, and tell us why?
I think I've always liked the warm weather seasons best, just because I was always outside. You know, like I said, having grown up just down a few blocks down from the river, and where I could fish and swim and do all that kind of stuff. So I would say summer, you know, when it warms up in the spring to summer and it's still warm in the fall, and then that season.
Tell us, what is your favorite holiday and why, if you have one?
When we were kids, of course, Christmas was always really big in our house because of my mom. So that one, which, you know, with all the presents and all, of course, now it's got a deeper meaning to me. I'm not so much the presents and all, but the family getting together and the meaning of Christmas, my faith in God and all. So that's really important. Thanksgiving, still, you know, being thankful for all our blessings. And those seasons where, those holidays where the family gets together, we always still try to get together on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. So, and Easter's also very special.
It's amazing how we have different views and pick different seasons. And I'm a summertime person as well, Mike. I like the warm weather. Tell us, Mike, you brought up faith, and I have a question. Tell us a little bit about your faith. I know it's very, very important to you. So let's talk a little bit about that.
My mom instilled a belief in God when we were kids in us, and, you know, I always prayed when I was a kid. But when I lost my driver's license and I had to do some real serious thinking about what I was going to do with the rest of my life and my situation, and I had a friend who had died in a car accident by that time. So I was doing some thinking about that and life in general, and it's kind of like I had like somebody turned on a switch one day, and it's like it all made sense, God and faith, and it really came home to me what it was really all about. And so at that point, I was in my early 20s when that happened, and it's just grown more and more from that point.
And one thing I admire about you, Mike, is you're very open about your faith, and I admire you for that, and thank God for that. Mike, we're getting down to the last question here, and we're going to open up the floor to the members to give them an opportunity to ask some questions. And when I do open the floor, if anyone has a question for Mike, if you would key up one at a time, please, and let Mike answer your question before someone else keys up to ask another question. Mike, how long have you been part of VIP Conduit, and how has it impacted your life? Has it made a difference in your life?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's one of the big part. I made a lot of friends, really good friends over here. Of course, all the other sites as well, but this is one of them. It's special because of the Bible study on Sundays. So I've been going to that for many years. So that's something I've always enjoyed.
Well, Mike, like I said, I met you back in the early 2000s on FTP, and you were one of the first persons that I met and became friends with. And I feel privileged to have been your friend for that many years. And thank you so very much for sharing all this information with me this evening and opening up to all of us. I'm going to open up the floor for questions. Someone have a first question for Mike?
Yeah, Mike, great interview. And, you know, I've always noticed you seem to have your approach to life seems to come from a position of extreme equanimity. And I was wondering, this is greatly to be admired, because I know sometimes I get worked up about the storms and stresses of life myself. And yet you seem to, despite the various challenges you've had to face, you just seem to muddle it through and just get through it all with a sense of calm. At least that's what you express in your personality and everything that I've known about you. So I was wondering, I think you spoke about your faith, and that's certainly a part of it. Can you speak more to that and how you have coped with all these difficult challenges you faced?
Yes, that plays a big part, of course. That's gives me my strength, is my faith. When my mom passed away, that was a really rough time, and I was losing my eyesight and lost my job and lost my mom all at one time. People seem to say I was so strong, but it wasn't me. It was God giving me strength, and I have to give God all the glory for everything like that. I'm just do the best I can, and He takes care of everything else.
And following up with Rick's question, that comes along with a lot of prayer and faith and trust in God and letting Him help you versus you doing it yourself. Is that right, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I'd like to ask a question, Teresa.
Go ahead, Miss Becky.
I also, and Linda, have RP. Mike, I know we've talked about that a lot. And I think you said you have one sister with RP. I take it the other sister does not have it. And in our family, we have never been able to trace RP back anywhere. I mean, neither of our parents had any difficulty with vision. And nowhere in our family could we find it. So I'm just curious. It sounds like neither of your parents had RP as well. Was there anyone else in your family or, not immediate family, but anywhere else in your family that had RP?
Yes, my older sister has it. My younger sister does not, thankfully. My nephew does not so far, thankfully. No one else in the family, extended family, have shown any signs of any eye problems other than my sister and I. So we were diagnosed with what they call recessive RP, which means it just jumps around from one generation to the next. The dominant type, it seems like they have RP every generation, boom, 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 like that. But for my sister and I, we don't, which I guess that's a blessing. It just two out of the whole family.
So neither of your parents or your grandparents, as far as you know, then had RP?
No, as far as we know, they all had good vision up until old age, drove and everything. Didn't seem to have any problems, issues with their eyes.
And Becky, I'll just clarify a little bit here. I'm not going to take up a lot of time, but there are, like Mike said, there's two types of RP, recessive and dominant. And the recessive gene, both the parents carry the RP gene. They just don't produce the eye disease. So it could go back 15 or 20 generations, and it would take a long time to even, there's nobody alive to go back and research to find out who that person is. But I went through a lot of genetic counseling when I was diagnosed with RP because I have a son. But Mike's parents both had to carry, or if nobody else in your family, Becky, has it, your parents both carried the gene like my parents. And it does jump from generation to generation. Anybody else have a question for Mike?
I have one more question, if I can, Teresa or Rose. How has the loss of sight affected you, Mike, from a social point of view? In other words, how have you adjusted from when you could see and then losing your sight with respect to your friends and this kind of thing? How have you dealt with that? And has that been traumatic for you? And has it changed your life socially in a dramatic way as far as your friends go and other issues related to that?
Well, yes, it has. Of course, not being able to get out and socialize, like I did before, visit friends, that kind of hinders that. You don't go where you want when you want. You go where you can when you can. So I do more socializing online now, which it seems that's the way the general population is going now. Everybody, everything's online now, social media and all of that. But yes, it has. I would really like to be able to go out and go to places and visit when I, you know, friends and family or whatever. I've always been like that. But so it does hinder me quite a bit. But, you know, when I can, I go when I have the opportunity to do things.
Anybody else have a question for Mike?
Could I ask one, Teresa?
Yes, you can.
Mike, do you still really like bikes? And I mean, I realize a big road bike wouldn't be anything to do, but I myself have owned little dirt bikes and played around my dad's properties with them. And have you ever ridden blind? And do you still do it?
No, I don't anymore. I was more into the smaller ones too. My cousin had a Harley, and that's the biggest one I've been on. My dad had a big DSA, but I was more into the smaller off-road kind of motocross type stuff, trail riding. And I had an old one here. I still got it actually out there in the building. It's needs some work. It won't run anymore, but I don't know. I would probably get out there on it if it was running and try it.
No, Mike, I come from the country, and everybody's got a host of off-road vehicles that they play with, and they're an awful lot of fun, all of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got a three-wheeler, too, and, of course, I'm more with the long drive, riding lawnmower now because I use it to you know, maintain the property and everything. So I do pull that trailer around with it, and like I said, use a long cane pole or whatever, fishing pole to get around. And I know this place like the back of my hand, so I'm able to do that. And I entertain the neighbors, you know, so I do that as well.
I'm sorry, Chief, I have a question when they're done.
All right, Miss Connie, go ahead.
Mike, I was really surprised that you had said that there was a doctor that could actually help your vision. Could you please talk about that? Because I went to several specialists, and they had told me that there was no help at all.
Okay, well, he didn't help the RP so much, the retina problem, but I had developed cataracts. And, of course, you know, you can have cataracts removed now and replaced with a plastic lens. That's what he did. And it really greatly increased my visual acuity, and that's what I went by then. Although he did help me to keep my vision as long as possible. He did some laser surgery on me when I was having problems. I developed macular edema at one point while I was working, and he did help with some drugs and different things. Helped me keep my vision as long as possible.
I'm totally impressed. Thank you.
I'd like to make a comment. I don't have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, about the spotlight, the program here, this really made a difference to me because I know some people here on VIP, but Mike, I've never spoke to before, and this gave us a chance to learn about him and know about him. It's like finding a new friend, and it's like, wow, I totally get it. It's like you learn in an hour. What sometimes you never have a chance to learn and get to know somebody. So I'm glad we have this VIP spotlight. Thank you.
Sometimes when you're in a room, you know, you get to talk to people, but it's just little bits and pieces, and you don't really get to know the person that well. I do have one question. I know you seem like you spent some time in California. I was wondering what that was like.
Yeah, I went out to visit some friends a couple of times. Went to an RP social that they had out in L.A. So that was a lot of fun for me. A lot of blind people seem to not like to fly, but it was fun for me. You know, just out there by myself. I no longer have to have somebody with me. I can go and do whatever I want. I'm, you know, in California. It's pretty nice. I was down at Long Beach, Redondo Beach, L.A., Universal Studios while I was out there, Sacramento. They're all really nice areas. So I really enjoyed it out there.
Mike, one of the things you said really stood out for me personally, and that was about you able to drive a riding tractor. I have a riding mower here, and I pay a good bit of money to have my lawn done every couple of weeks. I would love to know how you do that, because I would never dream to get on that tractor and try to mow my half acre of lawn here. How do you do it?
Well, I have to admit, I don't do the large areas. My dad still does that. But I do trim. I do all the trimming with a push mower, you know, and all around ditches and things like that. And I do mow large areas in the back, which doesn't matter too much if they're perfect or not. But he does the lawn around the house up this way. But I can get out there and mow. It's sometimes, you know, I'll just put a long string, put two stakes down, tall stakes, and something to give me a reference point. And just like I said, back there, it doesn't matter as much as up here. So that's kind of the way it is.
It's amazing what you can do when you have determination. I've got a friend that lives in Raleigh that mows his lawn barefooted. I'd never even think about trying that. Anybody else have any questions for Mike? Now's the time to ask him anything you want to ask.
I got one for you, Mikey. I've tried lawn mowing only with a push lawnmower. Done the best that I could, but I left a few stripes behind, so when the girl I was living with at the time came home, it made it a whole lot easier for her just to do the stripes.
Exactly. You did the bulk, and she, you know, just trimmed a little.
And I think Brenda's trying to get the key.
All right, there, I got the key.
All right. I have not a question from Mike. I'd like him to share with us why a fire truck is red.
Okay, Miss Betty wants to know why a fire truck is red.
Well, that's easy. Fire trucks are red because they have six wheels, and they have six men on it, and 6 + 6 = 12, and a ruler is 12 inches long, and Queen Elizabeth is a ruler, and there's a ship named Queen Elizabeth, and the ship floats in the ocean, and the ocean has fish, and the fish have fins, and the fins fought the Russians, and the Russians are red. And fire trucks are painted red because they're always rushing around.
I absolutely learned something new today, guys and gals, not only to mention a lot of new information about Mike. That was a great question, Miss Betty. Anybody else have a question for Mike?
If nobody else does, I do.
Okay, go ahead, Connie.
Mike, I was just curious because I have RP and I'm the only person in my whole family and nobody else has it. Not that I would wish anybody else to have RP, but I would always hope that I had somebody that I could connect with, you know, with RP in the family. Being you and your sister both have it, and I know Trace and her sister, and Becky and Linda Lee, do you seem like you're closer to that sister than the other sister that might not have it?
Yes, in a way. You know, I love both my sisters, of course, and close to both of them. But yes, we do have a connection where we are understand. Like my sister's a voracious reader. She loves Bard, you know, and we're always talking about books. And my younger sister's not very much interested in reading. So she's kind of out on that. But yes, and it was my sister, older sister, who got me started on computers, like I said, and got me into the RP groups. Where I met Hank, who comes over here, you know, some of the audio tips and out of sight, FTP, all those voice chat groups. So it's the same thing as here. We're all a family here and we understand. So, yeah, I am in a way closer to her from that perspective.
Okay, we're going to wind things down here. Does anyone have a question before we wind this up? Okay, hearing nothing else, Mike, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to interview you and to get to know you a little bit better. I have known you, like I said, since the early 2000s, but I learned a lot more about you this evening. And congratulations again for being selected to be the VIP of the month of March. And thank you so much for a great evening. Hope everyone learned something new about Mike. And hopefully we'll all get to know you a lot better, Mike. Thank you again. Thank you, everybody, for coming out, and hope to see you next month for April. And I will be making an announcement the first week in April to introduce the VIP for the month of April.
Yeah, thank you very much, Teresa. It was an honor. And thanks to VIP and everyone who came.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.